British Sky Broadcasting and Paramount Pictures present a Dino De Laurentiis production, Barbarella, directed by Roger Vadim. Starring Jane Fonda as Barbarella, Anita Pallenberg as the Great Tyrant, Milo O'Shea as the Concierge, John Philip Law as Pygar, Marcel Marceau as Dr. Ping, and David Hemmings as Dildano. Audio described by Therese Birch on behalf of MCS Agency. A box-shaped spaceship with a window like a large letterbox travels through space. It's lined with ginger-coloured fur. Inside, a figure in a shiny silver spacesuit with five tubes attached to the back floats weightlessly. The figure delicately removes its gloves finger by finger to reveal slim, manicured hands. The hands rub together. The pipes detach from the spacesuit. The figure pushes off half of the trousers, revealing a shapely female leg as she hangs upside down. She pushes off the rest of the trousers and kicks her bare legs. She touches the silver globe on her head. It slowly clears, revealing tousled blonde hair. It's a wonder, Wonder Woman. You're so wild and wonderful. Beautiful Barbarella stares dreamily out of the clear helmet. We're together, the planets all stand still. She lifts off the helmet and shakes her long hair free. She discards the helmet and pulls a sleeve off the spacesuit. She bats away the helmet, which is floating near her. She tugs off the other sleeve. Barbarella. Dazzle me with rainbow color. Fade away the duller shade. She kicks the helmet away with her bare foot. Get me up high. Teach me to fly. Electrify. Upside down, she peels away the front panel of the spacesuit and tosses it away. Above the stratosphere, bring your Dennis near. She wriggles out of the rest of the suit. Dawn comes tumbling down. Don't make a sound. Every word we need comes from the sky. Can't you read my mind? Say it. Naked, she floats about inside the spaceship, her hair falling over her face. Give me a cold shoulder. Still I'm dying, girl, to hold you and make love. A Barbarella psychedelic. Never can a fella name or call you. Barbarella, Barbarella, Barbarella. She folds her arms across her chest. She reaches out for one of four yellow buttons in the fur. She presses it. They go green. She drops onto the floor, no longer weightless.
Stand by for a message from Deanthus, President of Earth and rotating Premier of the Sun System.
She smiles and stands as she sees a figure appear behind frosted glass on a round screen.
Barbarella?
Mr. President!
The screen clears. A grey-haired man smiles.
Love,
Lub. Just a minute, I'll slip something on.
Don't trouble yourself. This is an affair of state. What I must tell you not only is grave, it's a secret.
A secret?
Have you ever heard of a young scientist named Durand Durand?
Yes.
Recently, while on a trip to the North Star, he vanished into the uncharted regions of Tau Ceti.
But why is that a secret?
Because Durand Durand is the inventor of the positronic ray. It's a weapon.
Weapon? Why would anybody want to invent a weapon?
How should I know?
I mean, the universe has been pacified for centuries, sir.
What we know of it. The trouble is we don't know anything about Tau Ceti or its inhabitants.
You mean they could still be living in a primitive state of neurotic irresponsibility?
Precisely. And if they are, and if they have learned from this young scientist the unspeakable secret of the positronic ray, well, it may give them the power to shatter the loving union of the universe.
But that could lead to archaic insecurity and...
And war.
You mean selfish competition and...
I mean war. Bloody conflict between entire tribes.
I don't believe it.
Neither do I. But we can't take the chance.
Something must be done.
Yes. And you are the girl who must do it.
Why me?
Barbarella, I have no armies or police, and I can't spare the presidential band. Besides, you're a five-star, double-rated astronavigatrix. Your mission, then.
She stands and salutes.
Find Durand Durand, and use all of your incomparable talents to preserve the security of the stars and our own mother planet. How do you read me?
Straight.
Here is the only known photograph of Durand Durand in existence. Age 26, hazel eyes, a rather handsome fellow.
He's in a spacesuit.
I don't think I'm going to be able to recognize him, sir.
Now, this is a portable brainwave detector. Attention. Set your atom transmitter at 035.
Positive.
Object in transit.
Object received.
When you wish to test for the presence of Durand Durand, simply press this contact. The light will glow and the alarm will sound.
Oh, he has a built-in tongue box.
He holds a gun.
Here is something you may need.
He puts it in the transfer cabinet.
It's a weapon?
For self-preservation. We borrowed it from the Museum of Conflict. That's my good girl. One day, Barbarella, we must meet in the flesh. Thank you. And love.
Love!
They both hold up their hands, palm outwards.
Armed, like a naked savage.
She puts the weapons in a cupboard and shuts the door. She walks past a life-size statue of a woman in a long gown and goes behind a screen. She returns wearing a tight black plastic tunic and black tights. She looks out of the window at pink discs floating against a blue background.
Alpha 7 to base. Alpha 7 to base. We are leaving the zone of solar attraction in 7 minutes. Acknowledge.
Base to Alpha 7. Acknowledged.
Prepare for acceleration into temporal space.
Acceleration into temporal space continuum now beginning.
The view from the spaceship window is of stars twinkling against a dark blue sky. A blue and red disk floats on the left side.
Alfie, when do we get to the Tau Ceti gravitational field?
154 hours, 7 minutes elapses Earth time.
Right.
She leaves the window and kneels on the floor to lift a Perspex lid and take out a pill.
Wake me up in 154 hours.
Confirmed.
Good night, Alfie.
Confirmed.
She stretches out on a strip of clear plastic, making herself comfortable. A yellow glowing object appears in front of the window. Barbarella fidgets. A pink and blue disc floats in the distance. Beneath the window, in a pit, the spaceship controls look like the keys of a piano. Barbarella stirs. Small grey flaps move up and down on the wall.
Acceleration, look in line. Barbarella, rise and shine.
She pushes herself up onto her knees. A tall glass of purple fluid appears under the Perspex lid.
Prepare to insert nourishment.
She lifts the lid and drinks the fluid. She grimaces with disgust.
End of course in temporal acceleration in 7 seconds.
Alfie, it's Talsetti.
White lights flash outside.
What's happening?
Magnetic disturbances.
Oh!
She's thrown against the wall.
Magnetic disturbances? Oh!
She falls and rolls into the control pit.
Oh! Emergency systems!
Green lights and sparks flash outside.
All emergency systems will now operate.
She crawls across the furry floor in the rocking spaceship.
Our magnetic screens are dead!
Gyro compass is not, repeat, not functioning.
You can't navigate?
That is correct.
I'll switch it to manual. What are our chances?
Our present possibilities of non-destruction are 0.00002 to 10,000.
Barbarella operates the controls in front of the window. Green, blue and white lights flash. She leans back fearfully.
My number two stabilizer has been damaged.
The spaceship lurches. The sky through the window is bright orange with glowing spheres. She anxiously pushes some more buttons. Black lines appear around an orange disc. She shields her eyes from the glare with her hand. The screen goes black. She leans back, looking dazed, a hand to her forehead. She looks through the window at a pale blue and yellow glow. The spaceship seems to descend through mist past a blue sky. It speeds towards an icy landscape. Barbarella passes out on the controls. She looks up.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Planet 16 in the system Tarsetti. Air density 0.051, cool weather with the possibility of stormy precipitations, analysis of the atmosphere, terrestrial with a slight excess of oxygen. I count 600324 molecules per cubic millimeter.
Well, at least I'll be able to breathe.
Barbarella goes through a door in the furry wall. A circular door opens in the side of the spaceship. She peers out cautiously, then tests the ground with one foot before stepping out. She walks onto an expanse of ice under a yellow sky, looking around. She returns to the spaceship to examine a jagged hole in the side. She looks around helplessly and walks back onto the ice, nearly slipping. Twin little girls with dark hair arrive in orange dresses.
What marvelous little girls! Hi! Do you speak English? Parlez-vous français? Wait, let me adjust my tongue box. That must be a Galactic 5 dialect.
One twin picks up a crystal and covers it in snow. She throws it at Barbarella's head. She falls unconscious on the ice. One twin picks up some skis. They kneel and tie Barbarella's wrists together.
Madame.
Responding to the child's whistle, an orange creature, shaped like a giant ray, appears out of the mist, twitching. Barbarella sits up.
Ich bin.
She stands up. They fasten her feet to the skis.
Brian.
Each twin takes an arm. Barbarella looks anxious.
But I haven't skied in ages.
The three hold on to a bar and are towed by the orange creature across the ice. Barbarella looks around nervously as they glide through patches of mist through the snowy landscape. They stop by the wreckage of a burnt-out spaceship. Barbarella reads Alpha 1 on the side of it.
But that's Duran Duran's spaceship.
The twins lead her inside. She smiles at a group of little boys.
Hi.
Grim-faced, they point crossbows at her. She smiles. Two boys with mops of red hair smile back. Two blonde boys peer out of holes. The twins lead her over to three vertical metal pipes and tie her to them. She looks down at a group of blue rabbits.
Listen, you children, this game is very amusing, but I think it's gone too far, huh? I don't want to hurt you. I just want to ask you some questions about this spaceship. Come on, untie me, or I'm going to call your parents.
The children place a number of scary dolls on the ground in front of her.
That's very sweet, but I...
They start moving towards her, baring sharp little teeth. Their mouths snap open and shut. A twin operates a button controlling them. Barbarella recoils as a doll falls. The dolls jerkily inch towards her. One with a blue face advances menacingly. Barbarella tries to break free.
No!
The dolls with different coloured faces and blank eyes snap their jaws. Barbarella struggles to free herself.
Help! 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 Oh, stop!
The dolls reach her legs and start biting her. They snap at her arms. The twins watch, beaming gleefully. Barbarella tries to protect herself. The dolls bite her stomach and tear her clothes, their mouths stained by her blood. The mop-haired boys watch, grinning. Barbarella passes out. A man in a feathery suit arrives, flanked by two armored guards. Scared, the children back away. A guard fires at them. A net falls on top of them. The guards have whips instead of hands. One lashes the struggling children. The man, bearded and handsome, hurries over to Barbarella, pushing away the dolls, and unties her. The guard herds the children out of the spaceship. Barbarella collapses in the man's arms. Her clothes are shredded. He props her up on the pipes and kneels to untie her feet. She comes round and shakes her hair.
Hello.
He looks up at her.
Oh, thank you.
She holds out her bound wrists. He stands and kisses them.
No.
She stumbles. He picks her up.
Como serio llora me de grasa, te wa miniola.
I can't understand.
Unisi me culi que volo comana.
Parlez-vous français?
Caluci de bona, how can you original negida?
Better adjust my tongue box.
Look at the bechina. Nuneas ne flec liminis. Colusi. Are you all right?
I think so. Who are you?
I am Marquand, the catchman. And you?
Who are you?
I'm from the planet Earth. Tell me, what do you know of this spaceship?
I know nothing. It was here when I accepted the job of the catchman.
Catchman?
Yes. All children must live in the ice and forests of Weir until they have reached a serviceable age.
Serviceable?
And then I capture them with my net, just as you have seen, and turn them over to the authorities.
I see. Oh. Oh. Thank you. Have you ever heard the name Duran Duran?
I know nothing of such matters. I live alone in the ice and forests of Weir. Such is the life of a catchman.
He puts her down.
Only in Sogo will you find the answer to the question you pose.
Sogo? Is it near?
It's just beyond that ice deck.
An armored guard cracks his whip.
Daniel, is that your spacecraft I saw at the far edge of this lake?
Yes, but I'm afraid there may be something wrong with it. See, there was a magnetic storm in my stabilizers.
Perhaps I can help. I'm not without experience in these matters. After all, it is I who must service and maintain this ice craft.
He opens its door.
If you'll allow me, I'll take you to your ship.
But there's no wind.
Hold on.
She climbs into the wooden cabin. He admires her bottom through her torn tights. He takes his seat inside.
What a lovely cabin.
Wind.
He moves a lever. A giant fan rises up and inflates huge plastic fingers to form a sail attached to the cabin. It rolls forward on thin wheels across the ice.
I'm so grateful for what you've done, I hardly know how to begin to thank you. I'm positive I could get you some sort of recompense from my government. I mean, if there's anything you need or that I can do, please tell me.
Well, you could let me make love to you.
Make love, did you say?
Yes.
What do you mean? You don't even know my psychocardiogram.
Eh?
Well, on Earth, for centuries, people haven't made love unless their psychocardiogram readings were in perfect confluence.
I know nothing of that. You asked me what you can do for me, and I told you.
Well, all right. But I don't see what good it will do. Do you have any pills?
Pills?
Oh, never mind. I have some here.
What is this pill?
It's an exaltation transference pellet, of course.
I know nothing of this.
I see. Well, on Earth, when our psychocardiogram readings are in harmony and we wish to make love, as you call it, we take an exaltation transference pellet and remain like this. Here, let me show you.
She stretches out her hand.
For 1 minute or until full rapport is achieved.
She shuts her eyes, palm outstretched. He watches her, puzzled. He starts to hold out his gloved hand.
Ah, I don't care for that. This is what I mean. This, a bed.
She looks at it, shocked.
That? But nobody's done that for centuries. I mean, nobody except the very poor who can't afford the pills and the psychocardiogram readings.
Why not?
Because it was proved to be distracting and a danger to maximum efficiency. And because it was pointless to continue it when other substitutes for ego support and self-esteem were made available.
So, you won't do it?
Well, if you simply must insist, I guess so. But I can assure you there's really no point at all in doing it like this.
Resigned, she lies on her back on the fur-covered bed in the nose cone of the craft.
Without your garments, please.
Oh.
She sits up to undress. He removes his tunic. His torso is covered in thick hair. He moves towards her with a determined expression. The ice craft circles on the snowy expanse under a yellow sky.
Drag me down. Love, love, love. Drag me down. Here I go.
Catchman puts on his gloves and smooths his hair.
Now, have a look at your stabilizers. A Since your garment is torn, you may help yourself to my furs, Barbarella.
Inside the opaque plastic nose cone, she lies dreamily on the bed, naked under a fur cover. She sits up and stretches. The fingers of the sail deflate. She crawls on all fours back into the cabin.
I do like the picture I see.
She selects a black and white furry tunic made out of a dead skunk. She holds it up against herself. The skunk's head rests on her shoulder. She fluffs up the white fur collar of the skunk mini dress she's wearing and climbs out of the ice craft. She stretches, the long bushy tail resting on the ice behind her. Wearing long black and silver boots and looking distracted, she approaches her red spaceship, where the catchman is examining the damage.
I dream this.
I think I have found the trouble. You may proceed now to Sogo. It's there you will find Durand Durand Jr. If he still lives.
Good.
And now, Barbarella, don't you agree with me that in some things, the old-fashioned ways are best after all?
What? Oh, that. Yes, I must admit it was rather interesting. Still, I see what they mean by saying it's distracting. Are you coming with me to Sogo?
No, I prefer the tranquility of the ice and forests of Weir. The life of Sogo is too strict and the people too dedicated. But perhaps you'll stop this way again after you've completed your mission.
Yes, perhaps I will. Well, goodbye, and thanks again for everything.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
As she climbs into the spaceship, her tail's caught in the door.
Advise present situation.
You wouldn't understand.
The sliding door traps her tail again, bringing her up short. Three silver bubbles on the side of the spaceship pulsate as Barbarella takes off. The catchman watches as the spaceship rises into the air. Inside at the controls, Barbarella looks worried.
Stabilizer's malfunctioning.
I've been repaired in reverse.
We're going in. I'll activate the terra screw.
The spaceship hurtles back towards the ice. The catchman runs for cover as it crash lands, sending up a plume of ice crystals. He runs towards the crash site and looks into a crater in the ice at a glowing red hole. Smoke billows across it. He cups his hands round his mouth.
Barbarella!
Operational power on all subterranean systems.
Barbarella peers out of the window at a lava-like fluid separating and a blue light.
45 degree ascent.
She tugs at her fur collar.
Quarter to half for surfacing.
The lava glows orange. Barbarella looks hot and bothered. She blows a strand of hair away from her face as she operates the controls. She's thrown backwards, then sits up with a jolt. There's a pile of rocks up against the window. She stands up, then trips over her tail.
I've got to get rid of this tail.
She stands up and goes to the door. She clambers through the circular exit. The wrecked spaceship is half covered by rock. Some loose rocks fall on her as she looks around through a cloud of smoke. Looking up at the spaceship, she trips. A huge pile of rocks falls around her. She lies unconscious, dressed in thigh-length white plastic boots and a tight-fitting white tunic. Tanned bare legs approach and stop by her head. The feet step backwards. Two bare legs kneel beside her. A pair of hands feel her face and breasts. Her eyes open with a start. A blonde angel stands over her. She looks up at him.
I'm dead.
No.
She sits up and looks around.
Where am I?
We're in the labyrinth of the City of Night.
Are you an angel?
I'm Pygar, the last of the ornithanthropes.
He moves his wings.
How do you do?
She waves her hand in front of his face.
And you?
I'm from the planet Earth. My name is Barbarella.
He strokes her cheek.
But you're soft and warm. We're told that Earth beings are cold.
Not all of us. Oh, my poor spaceship! Look at it!
She puts her hand over her mouth.
I'm so sorry. Pygar, what happened to your eyes?
I fell during a magnetic storm on this planet and was carried to Sogo.
Sogo?
The City of Night, where the Great Tyrant reigns. There my eyes were destroyed and I was left to perish here in the labyrinth where Professor Ping found me.
That's terrible.
He moves away from her.
Can you really fly?
No, I've lost the will to fly.
How awful.
It no longer matters. It's all in the past.
Pygar, have you ever heard of the name Duran Duran?
Duran Duran.
Yes, Duran Duran. He's an astronaut from the planet Earth.
I do not know of such things.
He takes a couple of steps.
Perhaps Professor Ping can help.
Professor Ping?
He's wise in all matters and knows well the affairs of Sogo.
Where can I find him?
He's with the others, eating.
She follows Pygar for a few paces, then stops, horrified. A body is encased in rock. A bald figure is covered in cobwebs. She follows Pygar through a vast maze made of standing rocks. People mill about amongst them. Mist lingers over the labyrinth. It stretches up to a mountain topped by a spiky, abstract shape. A boy with a mane of red hair paws at a rock. A hand reaches out from inside a rock. A pair of eyes looks out through a hole. Pygar leads Barbarella through the labyrinth. When she spots a woman wearing a headdress made of cobwebs, she mouths, "Poor thing." A man's head and shoulders protrude from a rock. A couple embedded in a rock try to stroke each other.
He's there. Professor Ping.
Oh.
Professor Ping?
Yes?
My name is Barbarella.
He has a shock of white hair.
Tell me, what is your origin?
He puts an eyeglass on his forehead.
You have the aspect of an earthling.
He stares at her chest.
You are of female gender, are you not?
That is correct.
Ah.
He feeds Pygar.
Is that an orchid?
Yes. You see, orchids have very little food value, and they're extremely difficult to cultivate in this climate. It amuses the great tyrant to resent the expense of feeding orchids to slaves.
What kind of place is this?
Well, now, that is Sogo, City of Night, ruled by the great tyrant and dedicated to evil in every form. And this is the labyrinth. All that is not evil is exiled to the labyrinth. Look.
He points to a man in a purple cape walking up a rocky path. When he turns, his body is transparent. He looks melancholy with a droopy moustache.
Who is that gentleman?
Ah, now that is one of the grand grotesques. That's the classic way of ending life in the labyrinth.
Ping sits down.
Professor Ping. Excuse me, have you ever heard of a man called Duran Duran?
Duran Duran? From the planet Earth? Yes, indeed.
He's alive? Where?
In Sogo, no doubt.
I must go there at once.
But as you've seen, no one may leave the labyrinth.
I have a spaceship, if I can get it going.
My child, perhaps I can be of assistance.
Oh, if only you could. Let me take you there.
Yeah.
Pygar, will you show us the way?
They follow Pygar in his feathery loincloth. He feels his way through the misty labyrinth, passing the semi-naked slaves wandering aimlessly amongst the dark grey rocks. Ping, wearing leather shorts, takes the lead and runs towards the spaceship.
What seems to be the trouble?
Well, I'm not sure exactly, but I think it's the stabilizers.
Let's have a look.
Ping puts the eyeglass on his forehead and peers into the hole in the side of the spaceship.
Pygar. Pen.
Pygar pulls a feather out of his wings.
Here. Thank you. Thank heaven the hypodontical molecules are undamaged.
Will it take long?
Hours? Days? Weeks? Who knows? Genius is mysterious.
But I can't wait weeks.
Ping dips the quill into an inkpot.
Pygar!
She touches his bare shoulder.
You can fly me there.
No, I cannot. Atrophy of the greater alien muscle.
The angel is aerodynamically sound.
Ping beckons her.
It's all a question of morale.
Barbarella looks up at Pygar.
Well, there's nothing to do but wait. Pygar, where do you live?
Come, I'll tell you how to lead me.
Ping taps the side of the spaceship while Pygar and Barbarella walk away.
Just ahead.
It's a nest!
Why, yes, that's where I live.
It's marvelous!
I'm glad you like it.
Pygar stops suddenly.
Wait. They're coming.
Barbarella draws her gun. An armored guard uses his whip to dash it out of her hand, then lassoes her around the waist. She falls.
Help!
She kicks the gun towards Pygar.
Pygar, right in front of you!
He kneels and picks it up.
Pygar, no, to the right! Now!
Pygar fires. The guard explodes. Its armor flies in the air. Ping looks worried. Barbarella sits up.
What is it?
One of the black guards in the service of the Great Tyrant.
But there isn't anybody in there.
No. The black guards are leather men. They are without fleshy substance.
Barbarella stands close to Pygar, smiling.
Pygar, you saved my life.
He smiles and leads her by the hand. She lies on her back in the nest, naked, dreamily stroking her face with a feather.
La la la. La da da da. La da da da. La da da da.
She looks around.
Pygar?
A shadow passes over her.
Oh, Pygar! Be careful!
He's flying.
Oh, Pygar!
Ping watches him at the spaceship.
Interesting therapy.
Barbarella smiles as she watches him, as she lies on the nest with a cover of moss. He descends, arms outstretched, and lands next to her.
I've regained the will to fly.
I know.
She takes his hand.
Oh, it was just heavenly. Can you take me to Sogo?
But I cannot see.
I will be your eyes, Pygar.
I do not believe it is possible. We'd be shot down by the Black Guard patrols.
Not with my mini missile projector, we won't.
The slaves, trapped in the labyrinth, look skyward. Pygar takes off with Barbarella in his arms. She grips her silver mini-missile projector as they ascend. His large grey wings flap. The sky is blue and yellow. Ping looks up at them. The wind blows through Barbarella's hair.
Are you all right, Pygar?
Yes, thank you.
Barbarella looks down at the dark grey labyrinth. She looks alarmed as two small, shiny gold spacecraft head towards them.
I don't like the looks of that.
They're each manned by two black guards. She fires at one. It explodes. The other one turns and fires back, hitting a rock. It fires again.
A little to the right.
The black guards return. Barbarella looks round. The black guards turn their craft, sitting in a perspex conical cockpit.
Pygar, watch out!
The craft fires. Barbarella returns fire. The craft explodes.
I got it.
She smiles and blows Pygar a kiss.
To the right!
Two more craft speed towards them through a cloud. Pygar somersaults in the air. The craft accelerate. Pygar and Barbarella turn. She fires, hitting the spacecraft's wing. It crashes into the labyrinth. Another craft appears. Barbarella fires. The craft explodes in a fireball as it crashes into the labyrinth. Two more approach.
Up, Pygar! Up!
Barbarella watches the spacecraft as they race towards her. She fires. Explodes. The second one fires at her, but hits a rock.
Try to hide behind that mountain.
The craft fires at them. Pygar drops limply.
Pygar!
They plummet towards the rocks below.
Pygar!
Suddenly, his wings start flapping again, so they regain height, passing black cliffs dotted with lights. Smoke rises behind them. Another craft is heading towards them.
Are you all right?
He nods. She suddenly notices the craft and reaches for her gun. She fires at the craft. She runs out of ammunition. A red light attached to her boot goes out. The craft is ablaze in front of them. It crashes.
Oh! Just in time, my energy box is completely dead.
Are we all right now?
I think so. Excuse me.
Huh?
She tucks her gun into the front of his loincloth. They fly through mist towards Sogo.
We're there. It's right below us.
We must land in a back street for your sake. To be seen in Sogo with an angel would be anathema.
Oh, I see.
They land.
Pygar, keep your head down.
She leads him by the hand through a glass tunnel. They step down into a large chamber. Naked women are suspended in slings in a glass box. Three dark-haired women approach.
Oh, my. We must find something to hide your wings.
She leads him past the women, who watch curiously. They walk along a raised platform past the glass box. A group of men observe them from a balcony. The lower part of the balcony flips open to reveal two men lying down, peering out.
Wait, Barbarella.
A dead woman covered in blood lies on the floor. A woman with long hair smiles from a balcony.
Don't be afraid, Pygar.
I sense danger. Guard yourself.
She looks around.
There's nothing, I promise you. Come.
She leads him forward. The two men slide out from under the balcony panel dressed in leather tunics. They follow Pygar and Barbarella, watched with amusement by the group who remain in the balcony. They fell Pygar and grab Barbarella, bundling her through a hatch. Pygar, kneeling, smells his hand, which has touched the bloody corpse.
Barbarella! Wait for me! What do you want of me?
She falls amongst large inflated plastic cushions.
Oh.
She looks up at the men nervously. They collapse. Behind them, a woman with twin spiked weapons in each hand.
Hello, pretty, pretty.
She spins the spikes.
Hello.
Barbarella smiles and stands up.
Thank you very much. Do you want to come and play with me?
For someone like you, I charge nothing.
Barbarella tries to leave. She grabs her wrist and pulls her close.
You're very pretty, pretty, pretty. My name isn't Pretty Pretty, it's Barbarella.
Barbarella pulls free and runs up stone steps. The woman, one eye covered in a black patch, raises a spike, then spins it. Barbarella exits the hatch and picks up a feather. She's surrounded by a group of people. A woman has feathers on her head and in her mouth.
Have you seen an angel anywhere?
A strange bird.
Yes?
Barbarella, holding the feather, searches for Pygar. She passes opaque windows. Behind them, naked bodies are suspended.
Screaming. A good many dramatic situations begin with screaming.
She tiptoes up a clear plastic staircase. She reaches a stage where Pygar is surrounded by a group of jeering, threatening people. They point knives at him. Confused, he reaches out to them. Barbarella runs over. She holds up the feather and waves.
Pygar!
Turns towards her. One of the crowd raises a curved blade about to attack him. Barbarella looks shocked. The crowd laugh and clap. Pygar looks bewildered. The assassin approaches, clutching the blade. Barbarella runs over and shields Pygar with her body.
Pygar, back up. There's a room behind you.
They back away from the crowd who mill around them. They turn and enter another chamber. The crowd stop. Barbarella looks back.
They're not following.
She notices symbols on a glass screen.
Pygar, come.
She leads him over.
Tell me what that means.
He feels the symbols.
Chamber of ultimate solution.
I don't like the sound of that.
She looks down. Beneath the glass floor, fluid bubbles.
I think we'd better get out of here.
An invisible screen blocks their exit.
Ye who have chosen to die, be welcome. To terminate the bitterness of life, you are entitled to select from three exciting and surprising forms of death, one of which awaits beyond each of the doors you see before you. Should you fail to choose, you will be given to the Mathmos. There is no appeal.
Next solution.
A long-haired blonde opens two doors. Barbarella, clinging to Pygar, looks down. The fluid under the floor has stopped bubbling. Her eyes dart from side to side fearfully. She looks up at Pygar.
Next solution.
We'd better take the chance.
She leads Pygar over to one of the carved metal doors. Before opening it, she reaches up and kisses Pygar. She starts to push it open.
Wait!
A man in a long black and white robe, flanked by two black guards, stands behind them. Barbarella leads Pygar over to him. He smiles benignly.
Oh, thank you very much.
You must come with me.
He ushers them out.
me, what is your name and what do you do in life?
I'm concierge to the great tyrant.
I must congratulate you on your sense of timing.
Oh, no, that wasn't me. That was so ordained by the great tyrant.
I see. But tell me, what is that horrible thing under the floor?
He takes her to one side.
That is the Matmos, my child.
The Matmos?
Well, you really are from Earth. You don't understand.
No.
The Matmos. Yes. Well, you see, the whole city is built over a lake. It's a very curious lake. Composed, like you and I, of living energy. But energy in liquid form. And it watches us. It is magnetic, and being positively charged, it feeds on negative psychic vibrations. What you would call evil. Yes, it thrives on evil thoughts, deeds, and flesh. And in return, it gives us warmth, light, and life itself. But it has a terrible appetite. Perhaps you'll see some other time.
Pygar is netted.
Pygar! Pygar!
Don't be concerned, my child. You'll see him again soon enough. Now, if you'll just come this way. There, sit.
She hesitates.
I'm afraid you must do as I say.
He looks at the black guards. Barbarella sits on the edge of the hole.
Forward. Please?
He tips her in. She slides down a smoky chute.
Oh, Maxis, what? Look, Maxis. Here it is. You get her. Get her now. The concierge will never let us. He always spoils our fun. Let's try anyway.
A group of people in tunics covered in chains are drinking. Two play a board game with cones. Barbarella walks amongst them. She's followed by the twins in red and black spotted ladybird costumes.
Play with us, Earthling. Must play
with us. We have lots of dolls.
We have lots of dolls.
Good heavens, what are they doing here?
Well, that's Demoxtus and Dracaena, nieces to the great tyrant, and very highly favored in our court.
Why not with us? That's not fair.
First, it's the great tyrant's turn, children.
We
start
first.
Now be good girls.
Demoxtus, Dracaena, here, come stay by me.
The concierge escorts Barbarella towards a large yellow balloon. It bursts. She jumps. The dark-haired woman peers through a beaded curtain with a clear plastic horn on her head, wearing black feathers. She emerges smiling, flexing her hands in shiny black gloves with claws.
So, my pretty, pretty, we meet again.
Barbarella stares at her hands on hips. The concierge bows and withdraws. Barbarella slowly approaches her. She rubs her hands, wearing a black glittery bikini and cape trimmed with feathers.
You! The little one-eyed wench!
You have a good memory, pretty, pretty. Yes, sometimes I like to go among my people. Be like them. Ordinary. Evil, as you would call it.
She signals for her throne.
So, I'm your little one-eyed wench. I'm also the great tyrant.
Well, that's nice.
It amuses me immensely. Now I suppose you're interested in the whereabouts and welfare of a certain party, yes?
Well, yes, I am. I'm here on the orders of the President of the Republic of Earth. I'm here to find Duran Duran.
I'm not talking about him. I'm speaking of the angel.
Pygar?
Yes, Pygar. He has escaped the labyrinth. Crime. He has destroyed 12 of my black guards. Crime. And he dares to deprive me of a pleasure unique in Sogo. An earthling. Crime. Crime.
Where is Pygar?
You want your fine-feathered friend?
The great tyrant nods.
There he is.
The blizzard subsides. Pygar is crucified by his wings, his wrists bound above his head. Barbarella looks shocked.
Pygar!
The great tyrant sneers as Barbarella runs over to him. She joins Barbarella, who strokes Pygar's legs.
Amusing, isn't it, pretty, pretty? Don't you feel like playing? Pretty, pretty, you can play with us if you want.
Yes. Why not?
Good, pretty, pretty. You see, the mathmus is having its effect on you already.
Barbarella slips her gun out of his loincloth.
It's the fumes. They make one want to play.
The concierge returns as Barbarella grabs the great tyrant by the neck at gunpoint.
Decrucify the angel.
What?
Decrucify him or I'll melt your face.
The great tyrant raises her arm. Pygar is lowered on a metal frame until his feet touch the ground. The concierge approaches.
My face. My beautiful face.
Stop or I'll shoot.
Stop. My face.
I warn you.
How dare you endanger my face?
The concierge snatches the gun.
Observe her power buckle, Your Majesty.
He pulls it off her boot.
Depleted. This weapon is as harmless as a child's toy.
He throws the gun and buckle away, glaring at Barbarella.
So it was a trick, was it? You should have saved your tricks
For the birds, Your Majesty?
Yes. Yes, the birds. The birds. Give it to the birds. You must.
A couple manhandle struggling Barbarella away. Pygar, on his knees, reaches out. The great tyrant strolls up to Pygar. He flinches as she strokes his blonde hair. A bearded man in a black headdress mouths words.
Tell me, my fancy fuzzy freak, what do you think of when you make love to Barbarella?
Make love? I do not understand.
Don't be coy with me, you're in no position. If only you had one eye in your head, you would see what a delight I am. My face, my body, all my things are a delight. An exquisite delight.
What is it you want?
I shall share my delights with you. You shall make love to me.
She lies on top of him.
An angel does not make love. An angel is love.
Then you're a dead duck. God! To the mathmos with this winged fruitcake.
Two black guards grip Barbarella's arms. The concierge leads the way towards a cage with two metal birds' heads on top. She hesitates.
Come along.
He points his gun at her.
Get inside.
Reluctantly, she enters the round cage. He shuts the door and blows her a kiss. She pushes at the door. She looks around as the cage fills with brightly coloured birds.
Oh, how darling!
They mob her.
Oh, my...
More and more of them fly in through a large hole. She crouches as they dive bomb her.
Ouch!
She covers her head with her arms. Blood appears on her arms, legs and bare stomach as her clothes are ripped. The birds line up on her thigh. She writhes under the onslaught.
This is really much too poetic a way to die.
As she lies on the floor under attack, budgies land on her head and hand. They perch all over her body. She falls headfirst down the hole. A lid shuts. The birds crowd round it. She slides down a perspex chute and lands near a man in a short leather cape.
Password, quickly.
I don't understand.
He turns towards her.
You want a political prisoner?
I don't think so.
Then you're not one of us.
I'm from Earth.
Earth? Planet of the revolutions. Will you join our cause?
What cause? Who are you?
I'm Dildano, head of the revolutionary forces. This is our headquarters.
A blonde male messenger slides down the chute.
Long live the revolution. Patrol report.
He hands Dildano a roll of cellophane. He looks at it.
Second level, immediately. No. Take the secret passage.
Dildano lifts a lever. The messenger waits by the wall. Barbarella watches. Nothing happens. Daldano tries again impatiently.
The door!
The messenger leaves. Daldano, young and handsome, smiles bashfully. Barbarella stands up, looking around.
Are you typical of Earth women?
I'm about average. Tell me, how did I get out of the birdcage?
Through one of our secret escape chutes. We've established several secret escape chutes throughout the city, indicated on this map by these lights here.
He presses a button. Nothing happens. He kicks it. The button comes off in his hand.
It's for the protection of our group.
He elbows the map crossly. The lights come on.
I suppose you realize you've saved my life.
A life without cause is a life without effect.
Well, I'm sure I could get you a substantial recompense from my government.
Earth woman, shall I tell you what I would like?
I think I know.
She sits on a bed and starts to undress.
No, not like that. Like on Earth, the pill. I have the pill.
He searches for it frantically.
Couldn't we do it your way? I don't want to change your traditions.
I'm not a savage.
He kneels, looking under the bed, throwing clothes in the air.
The pill.
He tries to undo the box.
All right.
5 years I've waited for this experience.
He eats one. She helps him sit beside her. She takes hers. She holds up one hand. He responds with two. She pushes one down. They sit in the black chamber, surrounded by clear plastic tubes. Arms extended, palm against palm, his hand in a black leather glove. They frown in concentration. He glances at her. They both sit upright and stare at each other. They both twitch, eyes fixed on each other, jerking up and down. The man slides backwards down the chute, stands up and salutes.
Long live the revolution!
They ignore him. He looks perplexed.
My group must...
Wide-eyed, Barbarella's long hair is curling up into tight coils. She looks flustered and licks her lips. She runs her fingers through her hair, shaking out the curls. Daldano, hand still raised, looks dazed. She looks at the new arrival.
Hello.
She replaces her hand on Daldano's and smiles apologetically at the other man.
My group must have a moment.
Daldano's hair stands on end. The man steps back, shocked. Puffs of smoke rise from their hands. He twitches. Barbarella looks worried and glances at the horrified visitor. Daldano's eyes seem unfocused. Suddenly, he lowers his hand. They smile awkwardly and blow on their smoking hands.
Where did you get those pills? Only Earth people know of those pills.
He smiles, flustered, and turns to the visitor.
You there, John Paul, what news?
My group must have more weapons before we can launch an attack.
Good. Return to your position and stand by. You will receive your orders.
Right.
He stares at Daldano's spiky hair.
You will receive your orders.
Long live the revolution.
Revolution. The door, the door, the door!
He smiles and shrugs and hurries past Daldano.
You must tell me, where did you get those pills? Did an Earth person give them to you? A man called Duran Duran?
That's correct.
Well, where is he?
He gave me those pills when he first arrived in Sogo. I haven't seen him since. He's assumed to be alive somewhere, probably in the castle.
Do you have anything I can...
Of course, one of our secret uniforms.
Thank you.
He points.
I was sent here by my government to find you, Ranjuran.
Your government? That must mean that you have your spacecraft and weapons as well.
Yes, of course. I don't like this red.
Would you lend your equipment to our cause?
Oh, no, I couldn't do that. Not until I've accomplished my own mission.
She goes behind a screen. Dildano sees his reflection and hurriedly tries to flatten his hair.
Perhaps we can strike a bargain.
What do you mean?
Only the Black Queen would know the whereabouts of Duran Duran. And she has but one vulnerable moment, when she's in her secret chamber of dreams.
Secret chamber of dreams?
Yes. She sleeps alone in a room above the Matmos, surrounded by a wall of impenetrable energy to which she alone has the secret key. There exists, however, a second secret key, which my agents have located and is now in my possession. You want to discover the whereabouts of Duran Duran. I want to capture the Black Queen. You follow my meaning.
If you really do have the second secret key, why haven't you used it already?
Because our forces have not as yet been strong enough. The capture of the Black Queen has to be associated with a military coup. With your weaponry and spacecraft, this can be brought about. With the Black Queen in your control, you can get her to divulge the whereabouts of Duran Duran.
Yes, I see.
Good. I need 6 hours to ready my attack.
Well, first we're going to have to contact Professor Ping to find out if Alpha 7 has been repaired.
Easily done. I have a secret radio transmitter.
He kneels by the bed and rummages under the furry covers and cushions.
Secret radio transmitter.
Oh.
He finds the transmitter.
Professor Ping to headquarters. Professor Ping to headquarters. Professor Ping to headquarters.
No!
Headquarters to Professor Ping. Headquarters to Professor Ping. Come in, Ping.
Yes, this is Ping, receiving you loud and clear.
I have the Earthling.
Barbarella.
Barbarella, with me. She has offered us the use of her craft and weaponry. Is her craft in good working order?
Yes, I have repaired the stabilizers, and the craft is ready for flight now.
Excellent.
Thank you. There is one danger, however. A Blackguard patrol has spotted the craft and may return at any moment to destroy it.
Good heavens.
I've therefore pre-programmed it to fly to a place of concealment outside the labyrinth.
You're a wizard, Ping.
It is taking off even now. There it goes. Perfect flight pattern.
Our rendezvous point will be at 1600 hours. And our password will be... Clanfire Puthkin with Golgerich Quindrobel Lechlandithilio Gogogo.
You mean the secret Clanfire Puthkin Golgerich Quindrobel Lechlandithilio Gogogo?
Exactly. Right?
Right.
Headquarters signing off. Headquarters signing off.
Barbarella switches off the radio for Dildano and covers it. He checks the flashing map.
Time is right. The Queen is in her chamber of dreams.
What about the key?
Ah, the key.
He opens a box containing a pink cushion.
There is the secret key.
Where?
It's invisible, of course. Only an invisible key can open an invisible wall.
Barbarella looks at him as if he's mad and pats the cushion.
Where?
He pats it, then looks around.
My Matmos. The key.
She tosses the box away. He kneels at a low table and hunts for it.
The key.
He looks up at her.
Have it.
He stands up and presents the invisible key to her. She smiles and cups her hand to receive it.
I put it around your secret neck.
He fastens it around her neck. She looks uncomfortable as he fumbles.
Invisible. Now. Now, the secret map that will lead you to the 12th corridor.
He shows her the map.
12th corridor?
He turns it round. She looks confused.
Good.
He hands it to her.
This way.
He leads her over to a clear plastic dome. She stands underneath it. He raises his arms in demonstration. She copies him. He stands back.
Go, go, go. Long live the revolution!
He pulls a lever. She looks up. Nothing happens.
One moment.
He turns away. Barbarella's hair is blown upwards. She looks up and is pulled up through the top of the dome and disappears. He turns back, suddenly worried, and stands beneath the dome, looking around. She's sucked up a clear plastic tube. Two figures walk behind a green screen. Barbarella is thrown onto the floor in front of it.
Oh, I'm just not the tube type.
She adjusts the plastic breast-shaped cup on the front of her tunic. She looks up to see a naked woman hanging in a black leather harness. She stands up and looks at the map. The woman in a silver toga holds a flaming torch beneath the feet of the suspended female. Two men look up at her. Two figures in capes with giant round collars walk towards Barbarella. A giant hookah glass globe contains a man in a silver thong, swimming in blue water. Some women lie on cushions around it, smoking. Behind Barbarella, a glass chamber contains naked women. She tentatively approaches the smoking females.
Excuse me. Could you tell me how to get to the 12th corridor?
A bald woman in a feathered headdress turns towards her. She walks over to a smoking brunette who grabs her by the leg.
I have a taste for you.
Barbarella backs away, then spots the concierge and hurriedly lies on a cushion, trying not to be noticed. The brunette inhales and passes the hookah to Barbarella.
What is it?
Essence of man.
Essence of man?
Yeah.
Barbarella tries it. The man in the globe holds his breath underwater. She shrugs. The concierge, accompanied by two black guards, spots her.
Well, well. So, you escaped the birds. Just as well. Now it's my turn for some amusement. Come with me.
He points a gun at her.
This way, please.
She stands up and is escorted away from the smokers, who lie around the globe, watching her languidly. The concierge puts down a sheet of music and touches a green plastic keyboard. Above it, black and white keys, then long black rubber strips. They encase Barbarella, who is naked inside the instrument, looking apprehensive. The concierge plays the keyboard. The rubber strips undulate over Barbarella.
Oh! What is this thing?
Who's this thing, my dear? Sonata for executioner and various young women.
Hmm. Oh! It's sort of nice, isn't it?
Yes, it is nice. In the beginning.
Her clothes fly out of a chute at the side of the instrument.
Wait until the tune changes. You may change your tune as well.
Oh, goodness! What do you mean?
The rubber strips go up and down more quickly. Barbarella sinks down beneath them. She looks alarmed. More clothes come out of the machine.
When you reach the crescendo, you will die. Pleasure. Your end will be swift, but sweet. Very sweet.
He plays the keyboard feverishly. The instrument speeds up. Barbarella writhes inside. Looking disheveled, she slides down, then pulls herself up. concierge watches her, her eyes open wide, her face is covered in perspiration. The concierge plays maniacally. Barbarella shuts her eyes, then opens them wide. Her hair sticks to her face. Sweat drips down her neck. The concierge's dark grey hair falls over his eyes. She turns her head to one side. He grimaces, his face trembling. Barbarella smiles dreamily, her eyes half closed. Smoke billows out of a line of cables leading out of the machine. Barbarella's head is tilted back, her eyes shut, hair tousled, mouth open in a state of ecstasy. The concierge looks worried as the machine bursts into flames.
I don't believe it. It couldn't be.
Wretched girl. What have you done to my scissors machine? You've undone it. You've undone me.
Look.
Energy cables are shrinking. You've turned them into faggots. You've burned out the excessive machine. You've blown all its fuses.
My goodness.
You've exhausted its power. It couldn't keep up with you. This is incredible. What kind of girl are you? Have you no shame?
She looks at the wrecked machine.
Oh.
Shame. Shame on you. You'll pay for this. Oh, I've got something in store for you. You'll wish you had died of pleasure before this day is done. Now you shall learn the wisdom of the lash.
Oh, please, haven't you done enough to me?
I'll do things to you that are beyond all known philosophies. Wait until I get my devices.
He walks over her power buckle. It lights up. Barbarella sits up and spots it. The concierge returns, carrying a black shiny box. He puts it down next to the machine.
Duran, Duran?
Kneeling, he looks up at her, then turns to find the power buckle. He picks it up, smiles, and turns it off.
Oh.
He stands up.
Recognize me.
Recognized you? I could never have recognized you. I thought you were only 25 years old. What happened?
Well, the Matmus is not without its effect.
But you've aged 30 years.
The Matmus has his own means of nourishment. And in return, it teaches us truth.
Dr. Duran, could you hand me a garment? I have been sent here by the President of the Republic of Earth, hopefully to save you and to bring you back to our own Earth planet.
Earth planet? Never. Shall I tell you why? Because I know too much. Here in Sogo, I've learned truth and essence. I speak of the dignity, the nobility of pure evil.
Would you hand me some boots?
Humanism, morals, principles, is rubbish, nonsense. I speak only of truth and of essence.
What have you done with the positronic ray?
Oh, so that's it.
What does it do?
All persons and objects in this path are deminimalized to the fourth level.
You mean?
That's right. They're placed in the fourth dimension irretrievably.
But that's monstrous.
Yes, yes, isn't it?
Why haven't you used it to take power here in Sogo?
The Black Queen must first be destroyed. But as you no doubt observe, she's always surrounded by her black guards. Whoever succeeds in killing her will be put immediately to a horrible death. Hence my prudence. I find horrible the idea that one could do to me that which I do to others.
But I was told the Black Queen was vulnerable while she sleeps.
Oh, yes. There are no black guards in the Chamber of Dreams. They're not needed there because there's no access to the chamber. But now it's time for my pleasure and your death.
Wait!
She jumps out of the machine.
I know how you can enter the Chamber of Dreams.
Who? How? Speak!
I have the key.
She looks defiant in her tight green tunic.
What does it look like?
It's invisible.
Then you really do have the key. I'll give you 5 minutes.
Take me to the Chamber of Dreams.
He points his gun.
After you, Barbarella.
She nervously feels for the key round her neck and leaves at gunpoint. They walk past white balls of fluff towards large magnifying lenses.
To the right, Barbarella. Now to the left. Stop. Open it.
She walks into an invisible screen.
This must be the invisible wall.
Yes. Now, where's the key?
She takes it from round her neck and feels for a keyhole.
Come on, come on, stop stalling.
I'm trying to find the keyhole.
He tries to grab the key. She holds her hand in the air. He reaches for it. She drops it in the fluid beneath them. The screen opens. He hurls her through, rushes over to a box with a pink cushion, grabs something invisible and drops it in the fluid floor. The screen shuts.
You're trapped!
Trapped in the Chamber of Dreams.
The Matmus will devour you.
Your Majesty!
It's no use! I've got the two keys. The wall
sealed for all eternity.
Dr. Duran, will you give up this madness? Come back to Earth with me before it's too late.
Yes. I will return to Earth. As its conqueror.
Thanks to you, the Queen. The last obstacle to my plans has been removed.
Thank you, Barbara.
He starts to leave, then turns round to face her.
Nothing can stop me now. Today, Master Sogo. Tomorrow, Master of the Earth. Master of the Galaxy. Master of the Universe.
Disappears beyond the magnifying lenses. Barbarella looks around anxiously.
Tell me, my fine feathered friend, what do you think of when you make love to Barbarella?
An angel doesn't make love, an angel is love.
Barbarella walks towards a screen showing a giant image of Pygar. The great tyrant or Black Queen stirs in her bed, which is shaped like a reclining woman. Barbarella runs towards the screen where a gold disc is surrounded by black blobs. It becomes a seascape. The screen turns blue with abstract shapes. Barbarella looks around. The screen goes black with twinkly lights. She runs into it. It changes colour. She emerges from the screen, a bright light behind her. She turns around, confused. The screen changes into a black and orange design. The screen goes red. Barbarella spots the bed and runs over to it.
Wake up, Your Majesty! You must wake up!
Vada Retro, Earth Girl. I know you don't really exist.
That may be, Your Majesty, but we'd better stick to what we see.
She sits up.
Wretched girl, what have you done? No one must enter while I sleep.
Your concierge is taking over the throne.
What? What are you saying?
It's true, and he's taken your key.
She jumps out of bed and runs to the black box.
We're locked in, Your Majesty.
The key... He's stolen the key. We are doomed. Doomed!
She returns to the bed.
He said the Mathmos will devour us. What did he mean?
It is said that unless I am alone in my chamber of dreams, the Mathmos will claim me.
She pulls back some fur to reveal four dials. She turns them. Durand Durand appears on the screen.
It's the throne room. I'm able to see into every part of the city and the labyrinth. Unfortunately, it's a one-way screen. No one can see that bloody dog has locked me in.
Your Majesty! Your Majesty! We're under attack! The creatures in the labyrinth! They're revolting! Your Majesty!
How dare he interrupt my coronation? Dispatch the air, Armada.
Quick, Your Majesty, the labyrinth!
She turns the dials.
It's Dildano. He will save us.
In the labyrinth, Dildano fires at a black guard. He explodes. Ping fires at another black guard, who disintegrates. Dildano destroys another black guard. Two black guards' spacecraft explode and crash into the labyrinth.
Your Majesty, they're all destroyed.
Oh, good. Not a creature left in the labyrinth.
No aircraft left. They have earth weapons.
Fool. Liar. Idiots. As I know everything of myself. I'll destroy this rabble.
He's going to use the positronic ray.
Barbarella and the great tyrant watch as Durand Durand sits in a red seat which encases him and operates the controls beneath a large screen, showing Dildano and Ping in the labyrinth. The slaves are running around, panicking. Smoke billows around Durand Durand. A beam shoots out from the top of Sogo and turns the labyrinth and all the slaves green. Durand Durand looks deranged.
It works! It works! It works!
Ping turns green and disappears. Durand Durand turns the crystal controls. Sends out another beam which turns Dildano green. He disappears.
All is lost.
The great tyrant covers the dials.
I must die very well. But it is I who shall have the last laugh. The imbecile doesn't know the secret of the great tyrant, the supreme weapon. I shall free the Mathmos.
Do you think that's wise?
Sogo will disappear. It will be the end. The apocalypse.
She pulls some glass levers. The Mathmos turns orange and bubbles. Barbarella looks around anxiously. The great tyrant glances down at the Mathmos. The magnifying lenses glide around. Durand Durand grins evilly, watching Barbarella and the black tyrant on the bed in a bubble surrounded by the Mathmos.
Where are we?
In the Mathmos and alive.
I can see that, but why?
It seems the Mathmos has created this bubble to protect itself from your innocence.
That's nice.
The Mathmos shoots up from the labyrinth like a geyser. The control room bursts into flames.
Fall back! Fall back! I'll destroy you with my positronic ray!
Durand Durand watches the people of Sogo running around panicking, surrounded by flames. The Mathmos erupts. Barbarella and the great tyrant climb off the bed.
You are so good, you made the Mathmos vomit.
Pygar! What have you done to Pygar?
He was sent to the Mathmos. But I see he's no more digestible than you are.
Oh, you can't be dead.
You win, Barbarella! But the Earth has lost its last great dictator, the genius!
disappears under the bubbling Mathmus.
Why don't you give him a mouth-to-mouth?
I have a better idea.
Barbarella kneels over Pygar, who lies face down. She flaps his wings for him.
Please. Pygar, please. Please wake up!
He gets to his feet.
We must fly back to my spaceship. Do you have the strength?
He nods and lifts Barbarella and the Great Tyrant under each arm. The Mathmus bubbles. Pygar flies away from a column of black smoke. The Mathmus erupts beneath them. Flames shoot up from Sogo as they ascend. Barbarella and the Great Tyrant look up at Pygar. The Great Tyrant smirks. He smiles benignly. Barbarella looks up fretfully.
Pygar? What did you save her for after all the terrible things she's done to you?
An angel has no memory.
He flaps his wings. The two women cling to him.
A beggar is sorrow, the devil is hate. A dream is tomorrow, a fool cannot wait. An artist is beauty that rises above. To look in the eyes of an angel. An angel is love.
The end.
A mother is giving, a baby is need, a garden is living where doubt is a weed. A man made of truth wears the sign of the dove. Who knows when he speaks to an angel with love. Teacher is learning, though ignorance bliss. Passion keeps burning through heat in a kiss. Devotion is sound.